The Lord serves only the best. He always serves the best. That's what they said at the wedding feast at Cana, didn't they? Well, Lord, they usually bring the inferior out later, but you brought the best. Come on. God wants his people to be full of him, full of his joy, full of his presence. And we can drink deeply and have as much of him as we want. And you know you're going to have as much of Jesus as you're willing to give him of yourself. Come on, God needs a vessel, right? And he wants us to be filled and overflowing, fully. Amen. Hallelujah. Fully alive. Awakened. Fully awake. God needs his people fully awake, fully alert. Hallelujah. So we need the oil. We need the presence of the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we say, Lord, give me oil in my lamp and keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning throughout every day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Hallelujah, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning throughout every day. Keep me burning throughout every day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of the mouths of babes. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just say more, Lord. Lord, we need more. More of you. More, Lord. Would you lift your hands and say, Lord, more. I want more. Lord, I want my life full of you. Hallelujah. Jesus, fill my cup, Lord. Hallelujah. I want more, Lord. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How many know he is our righteousness? But they shall be filled. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing. Life flows out of his heart. Amen. From the heart of God. All true ministry flows out from the heart of God. So we're not called to work for God. We're supposed to walk with God. And we're supposed to serve together with the Lord. Amen. He's invited us into a partnership. And we get to do this. Hallelujah. Guys, I don't know where else I could go but to the Lord, you know. And I heard some statistics last night about so many that are just dropping out and giving up. And it's like, why? Why, if anything, we want to go deeper into God. And God's looking for surrendered hearts and lives. Amen. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for those who are loyal to him, who will be loyal. And how many here tonight are that loyal one? Amen. We're his remnant. You talked about the remnant. And God has a people. But you know, God can do a lot with a few if they're committed to him. He's just looking for someone who will say, here am I, Lord. Send me. And tonight we get to have Brother Tom Olean and his wife Gretchen. And what was your son's name? And little Tommy. And he looks like his dad so much. And but you guys, he's really growing up, man. It's been a couple years, I think, since I've seen him anyways. But Tom and Gretchen, they pastor the North Star Church in Tumwater. And they are Holy Ghost people like us. So I know that he's going to bring a word. It's going to be good. And open your heart, okay, and listen. God wants to speak to us. Amen. We need him. His words are life to us. He is our bread. We live in him. Amen. And so open your hearts tonight, and let's give him a great big warm welcome as he comes to share the word with us tonight. Thank you, brother.
Good evening. So just real quick, and we're going to pray in a second, but some people are called into the ministry because they have the gift of encouragement. And so I remember the last time we did one of these things, and Pastor Rick was speaking, and I'm kind of just assuming it went like this last night. He has the gift of encouragement. I can't tell you how many times that night he said, isn't God good, or isn't that good, or isn't that wonderful? And I found myself thinking, yeah, you're right. I mean, he got me going. Well, yeah, so that's not me. I would love to encourage you. I hope you are encouraged by the time you get out here tonight. But when the Lord called me into the ministry, he told me, just teach the word. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from. I like to teach the word. It's that's kind of my home base, you know, my wheelhouse. And so would you pray with me before we open the word tonight, that God would just open our hearts to receive it. Father, tonight we thank you so much for what you're doing in your people, in your church. And it's so wonderful to see that manifest here tonight with all of our churches come together, one heart, one mind, and one purpose. And Father, I ask that you would anoint me to teach and preach your word with clarity and wisdom and integrity tonight. Help us to hear what you have to speak to the church in this day, in this age, in this time, where we need to hear from you. We ask you to bless it as this word goes forth tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what a great way to start 2022 than by coming together in a spirit of expectation. Isn't this a great way to start the year off? I'm grateful to be here tonight, and I want to thank Pastor Keith for inviting us. So throughout my career, practically every year, right around this time in January, usually for me, it's that first Sunday that you preach in January. And you see this a lot in churches. I would start out the year by preaching a message in January about how much I look forward to putting the past year behind me. Anybody ever feel that way? When New Year comes around, you're like, man, am I glad this nightmare of a year is over. And so I've often talked about that, about how glad we are to put the last year behind us and to look forward to the new year and what God has for us. And the goal of that, of course, is to try to provide some measure of expectation for people when we're moving into the next year. Maybe try to provide a little enthusiasm about the year ahead, because most years, right about this time, in January, December, most people find themselves a little burned out on the past year. You know what I mean? It's okay to admit it. Let me just take a little impromptu poll for tonight. How many of us enter January this year feeling really, really glad that 2021 was over? Yeah. That's a lot of hands. Don't be ashamed of that. It's okay. It's normal. Because it's crazy out there, right? And I get it. And that's why I've always tended to preach the way I have in January. But this year, I felt the Lord prompting me to break from that 30-plus year habit, and I'm going to call it a habit because that's what it was. And instead, God has told me to challenge the body of Christ to take a whole different look at the past year. Okay? Because as we got to the end of 21, and I was feeling those same old feelings of frustration. You know what I'm talking about, right? Frustration at the state of the world. Quite frankly, sometimes the state of the church. God got a hold of my heart and gave me a fresh vision for what lies ahead. And what he showed me was that this time is a time of sifting in the church. You've probably heard a lot of that kind of talk, right? You've probably heard your pastor talk about that or heard other pastors talk about that. And many of us, I think, realize that that's partly what's going on here. But what God has shown me recently is that this sifting is actually merely just a means to an end. And what the Lord is really doing right now, it's not just sifting, but he's coalescing his people. He's bringing his people together. And I believe it's going to include a mighty outpouring of his spirit as people come together with an expectation of God. An expectation that he's still on the move. An expectation that he still loves his people. An expectation that he still has a plan for his church. Even though 2021 looked the way it did. But I believe if we're going to experience that together, I think it's important for us to first reframe how we choose to look at our past, especially this past year. Or maybe the past 2 years. I came to Washington in 2019, and what a 2.5 years it's been for us. Boy, did we not expect any of the things we ran into. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a second, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But boy, were we surprised at what God brought us to Washington for. So there are some principles, I think, that we need to look at tonight. And I'm going to try not to go too long, but it's important that we set up a framework for a more healthy and maybe more useful outlook for what I believe God is doing among his people today. Okay? There's two words that very often go together in people's minds when they think about their past. And those words are past and regret. Usually when people think about their past, those two words are the first two that pop up, past and regret. Now, these two words are more often than not paired together when talking about the past, because shame is a weapon that the enemy uses, and he's constantly wielding against us to try to prevent you and I from experiencing God's fullness. Sadly, though, we tend to be mostly unaware that this is happening. So we use those words, past, regret, past, regret. And I'm speaking in generalities, of course, but I'm convinced that at least on some level, it's true for most of us. And the problem is that even a small dose of shame can result in long-term bondage. Doesn't take much. Only takes a little bit of leaven. So to more clearly see what I think God wants us to see tonight, this hope of the future and the good things that he's up to, in order to see what God is doing in the church as he coalesces his faithful, I believe shame is the first thing that's got to go. Or perhaps a better way to say it is this. It has to be reframed into something far more useful. So in thinking about people's past mistakes, I think most people experience regret, sometimes brought about by guilt, but mostly resulting in some sort of shame or, just as dangerous, denial. So let's lay a foundation first before we really dig into this. And we're going to start tonight with a kind of a personalized individual look, you know, kind of how this applies to us as individuals. But we're going to be turning our attention tonight to the church, because that's what we're here to do. Okay. But just to lay the foundation, let's look at 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. And it reads this. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But here's the good news. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, in that passage, we see two powerful elements tonight. We see confession accompanied by repentance. And I believe that those two things coupled together are the keys to true spiritual freedom. Okay. And I would contend tonight that real and lasting revival, which is what we're here to ask God for, must begin with confession and repentance. And by the way, every great renewal throughout history has always began that way. A people hungry for God, seeking his face, humbly seeking him in true repentance. And these things come with a promise. And that promise is that God is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that word all is really important tonight. Doesn't say cleanse us from most unrighteousness or just the things that aren't all that bad. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I can't understate how important this is tonight, this promise of God, because it's going to be the basis for you and I reframing our past into something more useful and finding freedom from guilt, freedom from shame and freedom from the bondage of our past. Because how many of you know you cannot move into the future until you're free of the past? I can't tell you how many marriages I have to counsel because people cannot move out of the past and take their relationship into the future. Otherwise, it's all too easy for us to find ourselves falling back into the same pits of shame that we dug ourselves out of, if we manage to dig ourselves out at all. So first, as John shows us, it starts with confession and repentance. He says, if we choose to walk in the light, that light being the light of God's truth, if we truly confess, which should naturally lead to repentance, then we should, and we can, that's the promise of God, live free from all the shame and the guilt of the past, both of which, by the way, are completely unproductive in the lives of Christians. Now, I think this is kind of Christianity 101 stuff. This is basic. I think we all know this stuff. So rather than cover this idea extensively this evening, this is just a little bit of a setup to help us kind of understand where God's taking us tonight, because this isn't why you came to a revival meeting. So let's look at what needs to come next. But if there's anybody here tonight, before we do, who doesn't understand what it means to confess your sin and turn from it, doesn't understand what repentance means, or you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and forgive you, please, by all means, before you leave this place tonight, please come speak to Pastor Keith or myself or any of the other pastors or people that are on his team that are in the room tonight. Don't let this night pass you by without responding to the Holy Spirit, that little thing that you start feeling here in a bit. And we want to be able to help guide you in that relationship with Jesus if you've never done that before. And hopefully as we go on tonight in this word, that'll all make more sense to you. All right, so let's continue. As I said, usually the words past and regret go together as people process their past mistakes. I regret that time I was mean or dishonest or hateful or just plain stupid. Anyone ever say those things to themselves? Don't make me feel like the only one. Okay. Listen, there's nothing inherently wrong, I suppose, with regrets, because in a way they can help us avoid repeating the mistakes of the past. But listen to me. Lasting regret, the kind that causes you to wallow in shame and guilt, rather than a sense that God has cleansed you, is completely counterproductive to how God wants to use the memories of your past. To use the past in a more productive and healthy way, you first have to understand there's two ways you can choose to frame your mistakes. And for me, I think it's just all about what you embrace. You can choose to embrace regret and shame, I suppose, which we very often do, especially if the mistakes were the really big ones. Or you can choose to embrace God's promises and maybe use the memory of your past mistakes for something more beneficial. In other words, rather than allow your past to keep you all guilt-ridden and fixated on the shame or the regret that's associated with them, you can instead use your past as a guide for your future. But to do that, again, it sounds simple enough, but to do that, you have to first embrace God's promise of redemption and freedom and choose to walk in the light of repentance and cleansing, not continually being dragged backwards by the stuff that's been dealt with by God already. I mean, for me, when I read the scriptures, it seems that this is deeply connected to the character quality of wisdom. The scripture has so much to say about the need to acquire wisdom, not just worldly knowledge, but wisdom, because wisdom is the thing that keeps you from repeating the mistakes of the past, not wallowing in them. Wisdom is about letting the past guide your future decisions, not torment you and torture you into repeating the same errors. But if you don't embrace wisdom, if you refuse to allow your future to be informed by your past and learn from your mistakes, you will most often end up repeating them, which is what we often do. We often don't allow our past to be used for anything useful because we're blinded by shame. We're blinded by guilt. So what do? We keep it all bottled up inside, right? and we keep it hidden from view, and it becomes utterly useless to our futures. But listen, it's really useful to Satan. And I know this sounds like maybe a little bit of self-help kind of stuff, but I assure you it's not. Remember, we must first allow God to do the work of redemption. It has to take place in us. It's nothing that you and I can do on our own. We need to allow the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak life instead of listening to the enemy speak shame. But you have a role to play. I have a role to play in this. And that's in reframing our thoughts concerning our past. But even in that, we need God's help to renew our minds and to bring our thoughts into alignment with His truths. Now, why am I speaking about this at a revival service? Well, because I believe that to fully experience the renewal that God is about to bring His church into, it's important for us to prepare ourselves by first reframing how we look upon the past year, not as an awful year, but a year spent in the goodness of God.
Amen.
I mean, surely last year had its challenges. Would you agree? Last year had its tragedies. I know a bit about that. Many of you may not know this, but two of our key people in our church, leaders in our church this past year, were murdered back in November. An event that none of us could have ever been prepared for, and it rocked our church to its very core. It's still rocking our church to its very core. As we made our way through that difficulty, we wondered recently if we'd survive it as a church. I mean, we've never been through anything like this. I mean, I started pastoring when I was 20 years old. I'm 54 now, so go ahead, you do the math. Okay? But never in my entire ministry career have I walked through something so terrible and so difficult. I had no frame of reference for how to go through this, how to lead a church through this, how to shepherd, how to pastor a church through something like this. So I know a little bit about 21 being a tough year. And so do many of you. You had your own stuff going on, your own challenges. In fact, I think we probably all experienced some type of difficulty this past year. But here's the question. If we only look at it through the lens of defeat and regret, how will the events of 2021 be useful to us in 2022? And the word that God gave me for the first message at North Star this year included this statement. There needs to be a conscious decision and commitment on the part of the people of God to proclaim victory over discouragement and distraction by choosing today that we will not walk through the last year or this coming year like we walked through the last year. It's time for the people of God to choose optimism based on the promises of God and choose to become more aware that we have been and are living in the goodness of God.
Amen.
Now that's a tough sell to a church who's just experienced a double murder, among other things that we've had to cope with. That's what I said to North Star. Here's what the Apostle Paul said to all of us. He talked about straining forward in Philippians in chapter 3, verse 13. He put it this way, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, yeah, good luck with that. We'll get to that in a second. And straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the thing about this verse. I don't believe he was telling us that we could or should ignore the lessons of the past, because the Bible is replete with examples over and over again of God bringing up the past as a means of teaching his people really important lessons. And by the way, You just can't forget the past. Right? I think that's a fallacy. And so what did Paul mean here when he said that? Well, I believe that Paul was speaking of dealing with our past and learning from it instead of allowing it to overcome us with guilt and shame to control us, which results all too often in being blinded to the goodness of God in every circumstance. In other words, maybe I could kind of rephrase a little bit of what he's saying here. Stop looking back through the lens of regret and shame, and instead resolve yourself to move forward toward what lies ahead. Amen. Stop letting the past weigh you down and press on towards the goal. Again, that was a tough sell to North Star when I preached it. Because how can we do this? Because again, you can't forget the past. Especially if you allow Satan to keep accusing you regarding of it. You know what I'm saying? And I believe it comes down to a conscious decision to fight this fight, because Satan isn't going to give up. He's not going to let up. He's not going to ease up. In fact, I think he's going to ramp it up. He's going to ramp up his pressure on the people of God in these last days. We all come into a new year hoping somehow we'll not have to go through trouble like the past year. And I don't mean to be discouraging today, but I don't think that can happen unless Satan decides just to give up. Because according to my Bible, that ain't happening. So what do we do? I mean, specifically, as the body of Christ, I'm talking to the church tonight. What do we do as the united church moving forward? Will we press on with expectancy? I asked our church the same question when that couple was killed. I said, what are we going to do? Are we just going to call it quits? Or are we going to rebuild? Are we going to push forward? Are we going to carry on? Because last time I checked, Jesus still has a plan for the church. We're a part of that. Will we press on with expectancy, or are we going to wallow in defeat? And here's what I know. The key is to realize that regardless of the pressures, regardless of the tragedies, regardless of the trials or the stupidity of the past year, we have not, for one single moment, been outside of the complete goodness of our God. Amen. Not for one second. Everything we've experienced as a church, as a body, whether good or bad, whether easy or difficult, was completely enveloped in God's goodness and in God's mercy and even in God's power. Here's what God says to the weary church. He says to the church in Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, says to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, to the leader of the church, the pastor of the church. So I'm preaching to the three other pastors in the room tonight. Okay. That was just a joke, but I'll try harder. All right. This is for all of us. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. He could have also said, I know what you've been through. I know what you've dealt with. I know what you've had to sit up under this past year. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power. This, you may feel that way because you're discouraged, you're tired, you're exhausted. I know you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. He's talking to the remnant, the faithful. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. You know what he means by that? I have always loved you. I have always been with you as you've endured these things. You have not for one moment been outside of the goodness of God. Verse 10, because you've kept my word about patient endurance. Boy, is that a relevant word for today. I was about to go into the whole mask thing. Don't get me started. Patient endurance. Because you've kept my word about patient endurance, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole earth to try those who dwell on the earth. Would you agree that we are in trying times? But listen to the promise. I'm coming soon. By the way, just in case you never realized this, he's not talking just about his second coming. He's coming to the church right now to bring renewal. So he says, I'm coming soon. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't wallow in self-defeat. Don't let guilt and shame control you. He said, instead, hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, like North Star, I'm sure that your church has experienced your share of trouble and controversy. Well, I've had more troublemakers in my church this year, and I don't know what to do with. You've probably seen people come and people go. And this can get really frustrating, especially for us pastors. Right, pastors? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Get really frustrating for us. All I ever did was try to help you. And you're acting this way? This is how we talk when we're home alone, you know, with our wives. Come on, you've asked your wife, right? I ask my wife this all the time. Why are we doing this? Right? Let me tell you. But listen, the ups and downs of growth and contraction, which we've all experienced, can actually, I think, be one of the healthiest things that can happen to the church in the last days, if it's the prod of God realigning his church. You know what I mean? Bringing together that remnant of people that are prepared to endure whatever comes his way, I think it'd be a really healthy thing. Matter of fact, I think it is a healthy thing what God is doing in the church right now. Even though for us pastors, it's kind of a bummer sometimes. Okay? I think it's a really healthy thing. And for that to happen, it must often include the pruning of the tree, right? As much as we don't like to talk about things like that, the pruning of the tree, we it's things we don't like to say. So for me, when I look at the makeup of the church today, when I look out at you tonight, right, it's much less about the number of people attending. It's about who is attending. And from the bird's eye view that I think I have here tonight, I believe that God, right now, in these last days, is coalescing his people. He's bringing together those who are hungry for truth over entertainment, faith over fear, and integrity over compromise. And I believe that in 2021, many churches, sadly, became a haven for those who longed for fellowship. We shouldn't have had to have a few doing that. It should have been all of them. Yeah. They were longing for fellowship. They were longing for corporate worship when a lot of other churches were denying them the opportunity. Yeah. And I don't say that, by the way, to puff ourselves up. But what I am saying is there can be little denying tonight that God has really had his hand on us as a church. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for God's goodness to us through it all. Yes. And I believe that in these days, God's continuing to do what he's always done. Here's a little perspective for you. He's continuing to do what he's always done. He is building his church. Amen. So how does this inform 2022 for us? Well, I believe it's two things. It's a challenge and it's a promise. The challenge is just keep speaking the truth. Keep worshiping with passion like you did tonight. Keep living with integrity because God rewards those who, like the church in Philadelphia, refuse to compromise and refuse to give up. Which leads to the promise that if we will overcome, not give up, we will be pillars in the temple of our God.
Hallelujah.
God's got a plan to use us. The church will continue then to be a beacon and a place where God is moving and bigger and better things are on the horizon. I believe that. Or I'd get a regular job. I'm just telling you the truth. But I'm still in the fight because 2021 has shown me that God still has great plans for His church. It's funny what God tells you to do, right? So we're getting into December this year, just before Christmas. And in November, we just went through this terrible thing. And the church is reeling, and a lot of people aren't coming, and they're sad and depressed, and nobody knows what to do or how to behave or what to think. And so I'm on my knees, and I'm saying, God, will you just give me a word for the church? I mean, we're about to head into what's supposed to be the happiest time of the year, Christmas, and all the celebrations around Advent, and all the stuff that we do, and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to offer these people. I said to God, I got nothing. You know what he told me? He led me to the book of Ezra. Yeah, I know, Ezra, right? That's what I said. What? So I must be missing God. It's my imagination. No, he brought me back to the book of Ezra twice. And he spoke these words to me. It's time to get back to work. Right. What? like I'm filling God in on stuff he doesn't know. Do you know what we've just went through, Lord? And the best you got is get back to work? Yeah. That's what the Lord spoke to us. Get back to it. You know why? Because the church, which was God's idea from the very beginning, is still how he intends to minister to this broken world. We're still his plan. He still loves his church. And as hard as this was to digest for me back in December, he still intends to bless his bride because he loved her enough to send Christ to die for her. Right? None of this has changed simply because the world has gone off the rails. God is still God. God is still good. And you can look at 2021 as defeat if you want to, but I see it as a preview of things to come. Great things to come. In fact, I choose today to even see the downward spiral of our world. I know I'm bumming some of you out. You got to admit, that's what's happening right now, right? I mean, I wake up most days going, oh, man, I never thought in my entire lifetime I would see the world turning out the way it's turning out right now. But I choose today to even see that. It's not only a prophetic sign of Christ's return, which I believe it is, but also an opportunity for the church to be used even more mightily by God. It's not the well who need a doctor. It's the sick. In other words, I believe, as many of the apostles might have said it, I count it an honor even to suffer in these last days if it means being used for God's righteous purposes. I mean, think about it. You and I get to be on the front lines. I mean, we get to have front row seats to what God's up to at this moment in history. And if these are the last days, and I'm not saying that I know they are, not going there tonight, but as I say often, it's irrelevant. We're supposed to live like Christ could come back at any moment. Follow me? And he may. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, we're in it. Right? We got weeks to go. Whatever it is. Let's just say that's the deal. We get to be the church that God uses as his return draws near. Think about that. So what should that church look like? Well, Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So I'm just going to admit, I have a problem with that. I do. I have a problem with complaining and griping and you people and it. I'm trying. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the church we need to be. Sober-minded. Self-controlled. Prayerful. Known by our love. Serving wherever the Lord calls us. Because in the last days there will be less of us. Speaking the truth. Operating in the wisdom, the strength, and the character of God. In the power of the Holy Spirit for one purpose. To glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know what changed ministry for me forever? When I stopped worrying about building a church and set my heart on just having one that glorifies the name of the one who died for me. Yeah. Was the past year difficult? That's a rhetorical question. Okay. Has the age of COVID been a total drag for the church? I can't even describe to you how utterly sick and tired I am personally of all this whole COVID-related insanity that I have to deal with every single day. For me, yeah, past couple of years have certainly had their moments and they've had their challenges. But if 34 years of ministry has taught me anything, it's that every year is tough. I don't know about you, but I ain't had an easy one yet. And God's had to continually remind me that this is what we signed up for. Well, someone needs to hear that. We joined an army when we gave our hearts to Jesus, not a social club. Okay? And through it all, God, for a much greater purpose than having a social club, by the way, has given us His Spirit to not only endure the hardships, but to come out on the other side victorious and stronger and wiser and more determined to do what? Glorify our Savior. In other words, every single obstacle that you and I have faced has hopefully made us stronger and more able to persevere in this time. Otherwise, it's useless to us. Every controversy has given us an opportunity to choose truth. Every tragedy has served to remind us of the glory that awaits us when it's our time to meet Jesus. When He comes or we go to Him. And it reminds us of the importance of remaining in Him. And every struggle that we've endured has made us more resolved to depend on God for everything. Because over and over and over again, would you agree? He has shown Himself faithful. If you don't believe that, all I can say is, you're still here. You're still breathing. So if there's one thing to take with you tonight as we close, it's this. Again, not for one single solitary moment. Through everything that you've had to endure, everything that you've faced, were you not surrounded and enveloped in the goodness of God? Amen. I began this evening by talking about confession and repentance. See, for me, the Lord brought me not long ago to a place of deep confession that I had missed in all of my complaining and frustration regarding this past year, that I had missed much of the goodness of God. Amen. Through it all. I missed it. And that was a hard lesson for me. Right? I'm not supposed to be learning those lessons. 54, I've been in ministry since I'm 20. I'm supposed to have it all together. Right? I mean, I got this all dialed in and figured out by now. And here I am learning this hard lesson. But it brought me to a place of repentance, which led to freedom from the hold that the past had on me, that it had on my life. And God gave me a whole new way in that moment to reframe all those events into something much more useful to my future, because I was about ready to quit. I was feeling defeated and ready to give up. And Satan was starting to bring up again things that I thought I had dealt with 20 years ago, because he saw me in a moment of weakness. And tonight I believe that God wants to bring you into that same freedom as a means of preparing us as a church for the renewal that I believe he's about to pour out.
Amen.
Now, I don't consider myself a prophet. I don't often get like words from God. I believe that every time I open the Word of God, it is prophetic in nature. But I don't consider myself one of those people that's always like, God told me to tell you this or God told me to tell you that. But I do believe that I heard from the Lord very clearly back in December, and that he spoke to me and said, soon, as a result of what's going on in the world right now, I'm about to bring renewal to the church.
Amen.
And so that excited me. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's talking about just North Star or just your church or the Big C church. I'm not really sure about all that. I think that's what it is. But presumably you're here tonight because you want to see renewal in the church.
Yes.
As do I, especially today when it seems like there's so much compromise going on, even in the body of Christ. But so often we find ourselves praying that other people will get right with Jesus so that we can see that move of God occur. But tonight God wants it to begin with you and I. Okay? And it starts with confession. God, I've allowed discouragement and frustration to blind me to the fact that I have been and I am living in your goodness and in your blessing. So God, help me rid myself tonight of the shame of my past. Because to keep a hold of it, listen, don't miss this. To keep a hold of it is sinful. Because he sent his son to free us from it. The accusation, well, that's from the enemy. But I don't live under his accusation. I live in the goodness of my God. I live in the freedom that was purchased on the cross of Calvary. So if you're hungry for a move of God in this crazy, turbulent, weird time, then let it begin with you. Let's seek the Lord together tonight. Ask him tonight to renew your heart. And join us as we pray that God would help us tonight to reframe our past, change the way we look at it, and choose to use it to glorify Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Let's pray. God, will you help us tonight? Will you help us, Lord, tonight to heal from our pasts, even as a church, to heal from this past year? You know what we face. You know the struggles we've had. You know the discouragement the enemy is attempting to speak into our lives and the shame he's attempting to pour out into our souls, our spirits. And so, Father, tonight, help us to remember that you've never failed to keep us in your goodness. You have never failed to keep your promises. And I can let go of all that stuff because you still have a plan for me. Even as a church, we can let go of that shame, that difficulty, that frustration, that anger, because you still have a plan for your church. You still have a place you want to take us. And you want to prepare us for your son's return. So, Father, would you do that work in us tonight? As we surrender our hearts to you and we acknowledge, God, that many of us would say even right now, Lord, we've missed it. Lord, I missed it this past year. I chose to embrace all of this other negative stuff and completely miss the fact that I was walking in your goodness. And had it not been for a dear friend of mine pointing this out, I'd still be missing it probably. God, I confess. And I repent of that. I repent for holding on to it. For choosing it over your goodness. Tonight I ask you to free us from that. Free us from that. That we might be a powerful and usable church in the last days. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was good, brother. Appreciate you. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. You can't go back and change the past, but you can correct the future. Hallelujah. We've already come to agreement. We know we heard the word tonight. We're here because we do have a hunger and a thirst for the Lord, and we want to accomplish His will for our lives. How many here want to accomplish God's will? Amen. So the Bible says that God works in us both to will and to do. And the desire for you even to come tonight with an open heart is the grace of God. It's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. And so God wants His people to be free and to walk in the freedom that He purchased for us at the cross. And there's no reason for us to live defeated lives any longer. Brother, that's a good word. There's no reason for God's people to carry the shame or the guilt of the past any longer, because Jesus has already conquered it. He's already overcome that on our behalf. He bore that so we didn't have to. So it's time to give up, amen, this struggle in your own humanness, in your own humanity, to somehow overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's by the ability that God supplies that we overcome ourselves. Amen? It's by the grace of God that we have victory. Our faith in what He said, God's promises. Hallelujah. God is with us, and God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The devil doesn't want you to believe that God is actually for you. He wants you to believe that God is holding your past over your head. If you confess your sins back to the beginning, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Forgiveness means He cancels the debt. He no longer holds it against you. It's been settled already. Amen. The blood of Jesus has availed for you. You walk in your freedom. You claim that freedom. You thank God for your freedom, that I am free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What He has done on my behalf, hallelujah, has availed for me. I'm a free man today because of what Jesus did, not because of what I did, but because of what He did and my faith in what He's accomplished already on my behalf. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. My faith in God's promise. Hallelujah. I've got a new way of living. I've got a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Amen. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away, and I've been born again. I'm more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Let's just pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that if anyone is in here tonight, Lord, that is carrying, Lord, these shackles, these chains, or has a stronghold, Lord God, of whether it be depression or guilt or anxiety or fear or shame, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, as we call upon You, that, Lord, You're going to break those chains and You're going to set every captive in this place free tonight. Tonight, Lord, because today is the day of salvation. It's the day of healing. It's the day of deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. So, Lord, we're asking You, as we call on Your name, to break every chain, set every captive free. And right now, we cancel every assignment of Satan. in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We put a stop notice on everything the enemy has put on you right now in Jesus' name. We cancel that assignment now. And Lord, we thank you that our freedom is in you, how our life is in you, and we shall walk in freedom. We shall walk in our healing. We shall walk in our deliverance. We shall rejoice in our salvation. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Let's say that. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Hallelujah.